You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Hen Day built. Hey, Butts, happy positive Friday. How are you?
Yeah, I like the positive. No sense in being any other way. I got a quick question for you, and it's just a question that's popped into my head talking about the $3 Big Mac on Oilers games, home or away. Did they ever try chicken wings at McDonald's?
I don't recall that. No, like I know they had the pizza, they've had McRibs, but I don't recall chicken wings, but I could be wrong. Connor, one of our other food experts, might know, but I don't recall wings. Are you saying we should try to get some wings there?
Well, no, I just, you know, when you talk about, like, you know, you're talking about get a Big Mac, you know, the Oilers are on the road tonight, you know, get a Big Mac, eat it at home. Like, you know, you think about, you know, hockey food, right? You think about wings and nachos, right? And I was thinking, like, McDonald's, they've tried all those other things. I don't know if they've ever had McChicken wings.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's the boneless ones might have to, I might have to, I know that they have, like, the chicken McNuggets, so I guess that's kind of like boneless wings, but I don't know, might have to ask Chat. Okay. Might have to ask Chat and the fellas here in town. Could they? I know we have talked, that we've been petitioning them to bring back the McPizza, and we'll see. It's I do know I got the lowdown on it, Craig. It's, you have to have a very special oven for each one, so it's pretty expensive. So if they did it, it might just be at one location in Edmonton. I was like, imagine that one location had pizza. People would flock to it. So maybe it's a possibility. We will see.
I'll say this, though, Craig.
What do you think's more likely? That they'll bring back the McPizza, or the NHL will want to crack down on officiating?
Well, I mean, that trip last night, I mean, it, like, there's only one way you don't call it. It's because you don't want to. Like, it's unbelievable, isn't it? It really is. You know, and it comes in light of the comments we heard on ESPN, you know, from Tortorella. Melrose jumped on it. Buchagrass jumped on it, right? Like, I mean, like, really? Like, really? Connor McDavid has to change his game?
Yeah,
really?
Thank you.
Like, seriously? Like, you know, it baffles me. I mean, this is what you're saying about Connor McDavid? You know, we should be putting Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the stars of the league, on a pedestal for too long, Jason. We dumbed down the game. We took away from the skill because, oh, yeah, those guys have to find a way to grind it out. They got to get through the muck and the hucking. No. You know what? We got brilliance. You know what? Nobody told Leonardo da Vinci to paint with one hand. Like, they didn't tell him to close his eyes and paint. That's what we do in hockey. We tell our best players, oh, you got to suck it up. Shut up. Really? Really? Yeah. Please. Give me a break.
Oh, I can't. It's so annoying, Craig. I love that analogy. Oh. Yeah, it's like, and I've always, the NHL is the only league that says, you know what? You're our best players. We're gonna force you to allow the less skilled players to cheat to slow you down. The NBA, nope. NFL, nope. Major League Baseball, it's a little bit different. There's really no contact. It's either balls or strikes. So it's a completely different sport. But the NHL just, you know, oh, you got to change your game. You got to do this or that. And then to say, well, never complain about it. Well, considering the state of the NHL today, Craig, the last thing you should tell, you know what? Just accept it. Shut up. Don't say anything. Like, really? That's awful advice, John Tortorella. Like, completely disagree.
Well, it's terrible. And Barry Melrose and John Buchagrass were sitting there, the trio of them. Like, I mean, it was like, are you really seriously going to keep going down this path? Like, really? Like, it's like, you know, think about baseball. So Vladdy Guerrero comes up to the plate. Imagine the catcher just grabbing onto his leg, onto his pant leg, just giving it a tug as the pitch is coming in. Yeah. That's what we do. We are so, and when I say in hockey, it is so backwards and so stupid that we do not let our best players just go out and get a penalty. And I hear this, James. This is the other thing I hear. Oh, do you know how many penalties there would be? Maybe initially, but I'll tell you what would happen real quick. Players are smart. They'd learn we can't take those penalties. Because the coaches would be telling them, okay, we're going to have to find a different way to defend. Why are you going to be creative in defending if you can just break the rules? Oh, yeah, wow. You know, there'd be 10 holding penalties on my theater. Well, good. Call 10 holding penalties then.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I don't understand. Like, so here's the thing, Craig. Because it can't just be Gary Bettman. There's the competition committee, and I think there's the NHLPA. Like, do you think they'll ever say enough's enough? Because why haven't they to this point? Why can't they get together and say, you know what, this we got to alter this. It's better for the overall game if all of our players, like, you know, we talk about the missed trip. I'll say this, Zach Hyman, that's a penalty all day long when he hammers Carlo from behind into the boards and folds him like a Ukrainian, like a Ukrainian, sorry. that's a misslip. An accordion is what I meant to say, right? Folds him like an accordion. And it happens. Like, sure, the superstars get it, but the unwillingness to just enforce the rule book, I don't know why there's a hesitation.
Well, Jason, like, I love football, and I know you like football too. You know what? You're at the Super Bowl. You're down by four, and it's pass interference in the end zone, and you know what? There's 30 seconds on the clock. That flag's coming. And it's first and goal at the goal line. They don't go, well, you know, the Super Bowl. Oh, the wide receiver's got to fight through that. No, it's ridiculous. Jason, I'm going to tell you, I've been there. I've done it. I've heard it. The managers are the biggest problem with this. Because instead of looking at it, and they look at it through the lens of their own team. And I get that. I'm not trying to sit here and say that, but they look at their team and go, well, we don't have enough skill. What are we going to do? Think about this. And I use this example all the time. The Montreal Canadiens, their power play back in the day was phenomenal. It was a 16 lead. Five of the other teams said, wow, we got to stop this. So they put in the rule that said, once the team scores, you come out of the penalty box. You used to be able to score as many as you want. The Oilers, 3-on-3, 4-on-4. Oh, no, we can't have that.
I know.
So when you have the majority of the teams that aren't as skilled, that want to bring down the level, what I call play to the lowest common denominator, they're doing it because they look at where their team is at. And the vast majority of them aren't as good as the top-end skilled teams. But what hurts? What ends up paying the price? The high-end players, the high-end teams. You think Glenn Sather was voting against 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 hockey? You think Sam Pollock was voting for a player coming out of the penalty box after one goal was scored? No. And that's exactly what you said, the betterment of the game. And that's where the problems ensue. That's where they ensue. And until somebody or somebody's really just say, enough, we are going to do it, just like the quarterbacks. Like, you know, you see that play with the quarterback, you come into the pocket on a pass rush, you make contact with the quarterback's head, the flag's coming, it's 15 yards. They learn, I'm not going to get my hand in the quarterback's head. And they'll learn not to hold and hook and trip and obstruct.
Craig Button from TSN. Joins us, and Craig, kind of a twofold here. The Anaheim Ducks, not good news off of the ice with Bob Murray and what happened there. Now, supposedly he was very contrite and apologized to people for his horrible behavior. He checked into alcohol rehabilitation and, hopefully gets his life straight there. But on the ice, Craig, the Ducks, they're one of the biggest early season surprises, and Troy Terry is absolutely killing it for them right now.
Troy Terry, a couple seasons ago, he was one of the very best players outside the NHL. And, you know, there's an expectation that because when you've been that good outside the NHL, you should just come in and be that good in the NHL. Well, it's a step up. It's not as easy as sometimes the players think it may be. It's hard. But Troy's always been a very gifted player and a very talented player. And, you know, you're watching him play now, and that's all come to the forefront. They also got better players. They got a better team. You know, Ryan Getzlaf's having a good year because he isn't relied upon to just be Mr. Everything at his age. He can just settle in and do what he can. And, you know, good teams have really good support around their players. And I think that that's what's happened with Anaheim. We know John Gibson's a really good goaltender. The blue line is healthy. They ran into some issues with injuries and the previous few seasons. Now they're healthy and they're playing well. And then Jamie Drysdale's a year older, and you know, we talked about Troy Terry, and you know, they're better. Raquel, Adam Henrique was on waivers last year, and you know, he had an off year. He goes to the World Championships, was terrific for Canada, and route to the gold medal. He's come back and picked up right from there. So, you know, there's a lot of different challenges with the pandemic, and certainly the everyday challenges, every year challenges with young players trying to find their way. But, you know, for the Anaheim Ducks, the LA Kings, I think, find themselves in a similar spot. You know, some of their younger players are contributing, and that's with Drew Doughty out. And, you know, you start to look at how you have success. You know, you need players that can perform at the NHL level. It's not just about having young players. And you can have good young players, but they have to be able to perform at the NHL level. I think the timing right now for the Anaheim Ducks is really good, and that's why they're having success.
Well, it really helps when you get some defensemen back, right? You look at Manson and Lindholm, and they're both back. And you know, I'm hearing the Ducks. Ricard Raquel will probably go to free agency, but you know, I know Josh Manson's. They're very different styles. One's a lefty, one's a righty, Craig. But if you're Solomon now, and you're the interim GM, and they've talked about the Samueli. The owners said that you know they'll probably look for a GM full time in the summer. But man, this is a pretty important next few months for the Ducks because of the Raquel trade possibility, and then same with Manson or Lindholm. Are you surprised they won't look for a GM right away rather than wait till the summer?
Here's what I think. I'll be straightforward, and I'll be, you know, I know the principals that are in that front office. They've known as Jeff Solomon, you know, Mark Madden Jr., people that are involved in the Anaheim Ducks organization. I think Jeff Solomon is an outstanding candidate to be the GM. I think the Samuelis are very smart in saying what they're going to do. I think that Jeff Solomon, Dave Nonis, Martin Madden Jr., the group that they have in there, are going to make moves. I think they have the confidence of the Samuelis. And at the same time, you know, the Samuelis get a chance to evaluate what they have in place and potentially consider, you know, outside candidates. I think they have their I think they have their general manager right there. For me, I think Jeff Solomon was with the LA Kings for two Stanley Cups. He's really, really good. He's sharp as hell. Got lots of great experiences. And you know what? We talked about the change in Anaheim. You know, workplace cultures have to be like at a high level in every regard. And Jeff is a top-notch person in terms of caring for others and, you know, creating that type of atmosphere. So I think it's there. So I heard what they said. I think that you're going to see Jeff Solomon and his management group, because Jeff is the interim GM, which means he's the GM. He better act like it, and that the group will be making moves in the best interest of the Anaheim Ducks going forward. And the Samuelis get to evaluate what they have in-house. But, you know, I mean, we'll probably hear all the same names as candidates. I think they already got them in place in Anaheim.
Craig Button from TSN joins us quickly. Craig, when I look around the league, the Nashville Predators, they had a, you know, pretty down season last year. It's very early, but Matt Duchene and Granlund are two leading candidates for bounce back player of the year in the National Hockey League. They're both off to good starts. The Preds are off to a good start. Are you buying what the Predators are selling right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because you talk about last year, they had a great run. They started off real, real tough last year. And they made their way to the playoffs. Nashville was in the playoffs last year after a great run. And, you know, Ryan Johansson playing better, Matt Duchene playing better, Michael Granlund, who they re-signed, playing better. You know, John Hines has done a really good job in there. John Hines, to me, and Dean Evason, they've done things with their respective teams. So Dean in Minnesota, they said, this is how it works. You want to play? You better be productive. You better be competitive. And if you're not going to be, your ice time is going to get cut. They use the most valuable thing, ice time, as part of their tool to enhance performance. And they have the support of their manager, David Poile is supporting John, and Bill Guerin is supporting Dean. And I think it's no accident that when you watch how hard they play and competitive they are, that that they're teams that are going to be really, really, really challenging to beat on any given night this coming season. Do I think that Minnesota and Nashville are Stanley Cup contenders? No. But could they end up being, depending on, you know, how much more they grow, what additions they may make? They could find themselves there. But they're competitive teams.
Craig, have yourself an awesome weekend. We will talk to you next Friday.
We will. Thanks, Jason. You have an awesome weekend also.